Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Hard to believe we're finishing up on our fourth year on Franchise Today, and after our annual summer hiatus, this season will be very, very exciting as we continue to focus our efforts on best practices in franchising. In addition, due to popular demand, we're also including some new show topics that are relevant to franchise support, with the goal of providing information for operations support personnel and franchisees alike. Of course, in the spring, we're looking forward to our annual franchise legal series, and this will be our fifth annual franchise legal series. And again, in 2014, the series will be comprised of 8 weekly shows consecutive, with the final show in May as a recap to the 2014 IFA Legal Symposium. I'm also proud to announce our 2 strategic partners of Franchise Today, Fishman PR and Marketing and the Franchise Update Media Group. And I'd really like to thank Brad and Sherry Fishman, Deborah Vilkas, and Sarah Schulte at Fishman Public Relations and Marketing for their tremendous help in spreading the word about Franchise Today, but also for introducing new franchisors and topics to the show. And moving forward, you're going to see a lot of great information coming out of Fishman PR and Marketing. I'd also like to share my thanks to Steve Olson, Gary Gardner, and Therese Dogan for their fantastic support of Franchise Today. I'm especially excited about the relationship with Franchise Update Media Group, as our philosophies are very similar in sharing best practices in franchising, as they have successfully done for many, many years with their great conferences and publications. And we'll talk more about their upcoming conference in just a second, as it is a feature topic of today's show. But I'd also like to thank Steve Caldera and the entire IFA staff for their continued loyalty and support of the show. And I look forward to even more collaboration between Franchise Today and the IFA. In fact, next week's show on September 12th will find us with a 4-headed, star-studded panel of IFA experts. And joining me from the IFA that day will be Matt Heller, Jay Parent, Dean Heil, and Erica Farage, as we focus our attention on the IFA Public Affairs Conference, which will be held in Washington, D.C., September 16th to 18th. We'll discuss state and federal issues and the various ways franchisors, franchisees, and suppliers can get involved politically through the IFA. And then after that, the following week, Dina Dwyer-Owens will be back on the show, and she'll also be talking about the IFA Public Affairs Conference, but providing us with a franchisor perspective. And that should be a very interesting show, and that's on September 19th. September 26th, as I mentioned, a little bit of a change in focus, where we'll be specifying some information that'll be ideal for operations support personnel and franchisees alike. Nancy Friedman, president of the Telephone Doctor and a speaker at the upcoming IFA convention in New Orleans, will be my guest, and I really think she'll be able to provide us some valuable information that our operations support personnel and franchisees alike can take back with them immediately after the show. And then on October 3rd, I'm really honored to have Mitch Slimmer as my guest. As many know, Mitch has dedicated the majority of his life to supporting entrepreneurs of all ages, and that includes founding the Epicenter, its Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame, which is currently located in downtown Atlanta. He's also hosted Let's Talk Business for the last 20 years, has had numerous franchise executives and professionals on the show. He has some exciting news to share with you, and I'll give you a little sneak peek on it. The Class of 2013 induction event into the Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame will be held on November 16th at the Carter Center in Atlanta. This year's nominees include Oprah Winfrey, franchising David McKinnon, Bernie Marcus, Steve Jobs, Irvin Magic Johnson, and more. Really a great lineup. And I really believe we need to get behind the Epicenter, the home of the Entrepreneurship Hall of Fame and its mission, because that is to dramatically and drastically improve the success rate of businesses and franchises alike, as it's totally unacceptable. For decades, the failure rate of startup businesses in this country is still near 70%. And as we know, there's been a lot of great organizations in franchising that were startups. All my guests today were involved in a startup at one time or another. Last year's inaugural event was sold out, and therefore this year will be at the Carter Center to be able to accommodate all the people that want to attend. And then the following week, on October 10th, we'll be in Atlanta broadcasting live from the Franchise Leadership and Development Conference, which, of course, is the topic of discussion today. This exclusive annual event is for CEOs, presidents, and franchise sales and development execs. You should consider this your annual industry briefing. And what I want to do is kind of give a call to the principal's office and read the principal's note on this, because this is Fast Times at Franchise High. And there's a great note on the website from Steve Olson and Therese Stogan. And it says, is your recruitment top of class? School is never out for the pros. So get ready to join your peers for exciting presentations, roundtables, and workshops. This comprehensive educational and networking event is designed for you to share challenges, find solutions, and improve your franchise growth. You'll get direct access to leading sales and development experts and take away ideas and solutions so you can immediately implement to boost your performance. Conclusive results of the annual franchise development report, which cover the latest trends, costs, and budgets of over 125 franchise organizations, will be revealed here first. All attendees registered by August 15th will receive a personalized performance report evaluating their recruitment efforts in five key areas: critical content and research that will help you benchmark and forecast your year ahead. They go on to say you'll engage with franchising premier service partners from technology, social media experts, marketing agencies, law firms, and more. There's no better place to meet the leaders of the franchise partner community than right here at the Franchise Update Leadership and Development Conference. The knowledge, skills, and connections you build will help accelerate your recruitment to the best in your class. Sincerely, Steve Olson and Therese Logan. And today I have three highly respected individuals in the franchise community, but actively involved on the board of directors of the Franchise Leadership and Development Conference. And joining me today is Shelley Sun, CEO and co-founder of Bright Star Franchising, and also a returning guest to Franchise Today. Tom Wood, president and CEO of Floor Covering International. And Greg Voinovich, the chief development officer from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. Shelley is the CEO and co-founder of Bright Star, as I said. And in 2005, Bright Star became the first franchising company in the country to specialize in medical, non-medical care, and healthcare staffing. So she knows all too well what it's like to take a startup to a mature organization. Tom is the current president, or chairman, I should say, of the advisory board of the Franchise Leadership and Development Conference, and he started with the parent organization of Floor Covers International while still a college student in 1985. So Tom goes back quite a bit. And Greg is one of my favorite, with one of my favorite food chains, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. He's the chief development officer for Popeye's, responsible for franchise development, franchise real estate construction, design equipment, and franchise recruitment activities. And with 30 years of franchise or actually experience in restaurant development, I'm sure he's going to bring a lot of insight into today's show. So, Greg, Shelley, Tom, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
So, really, you know, looking through the conference roster of brands enrolled to date, I mean, it's a who's who of organizations. I mean, there's a couple of hundred on the roster, as well as a who of speakers that are going to be either facilitating or speaking at the event from all walks of life. I mean, Rocco Fiorentini, Amy Chang, Lauren Fisher, and the list, Mark Kuechenhoff. I mean, the list goes on and on. I can't even imagine. Steve, I know you're probably listening out there. I would like to know how many years' experience are on your speakers panels. I think it's going to be a remarkable event. And also, Tom, you head up the directors for the conference. That also is a who's who. So why don't we start off with you, Tom? Give us a little bit of insight of the planning that goes into the conference, such as the Franchise Leadership and Development Conference, and the activity that is put in front of all the different conference directors and your participation and input to make this such a great annual event.
Sure. Thank you very much, Paul. I think this event in particular for many of us in the franchise community is quite unique on several different levels. First, some of the obvious things that you pointed out, the level of executive talent and strength and horsepower that participates in this event is like no other event in franchising, especially when you take into consideration the concentrated focus on one particular element of the franchising world that we're all involved in. And when you look at this event in particular that is coming up, there's the unique opportunity of all the people that are going to be there that are the leaders in our industry, not only from leading organizations and leading brands, both from the one end of the spectrum of startups to the far end of the spectrum of very mature brands, but you've got the people that are really the pioneers, the leaders, the movers, the shakers, and the people that are really driving the innovative results in franchise development. And so the challenges that come along with putting together a two-day event that is going to be new, that is going to be fresh, and that is going to be cutting edge is how do we take all this talent that's going to be there and all of these people and corral it into a methodology and an agenda that hits everybody's needs, everybody's wants, and really also gets everybody to open up and share what's happening within their organizations. So what we have been really working on this year in particular is how do we take this event and move it to another level when it comes to the insightfulness and the resourcefulness that there's many individuals in our industry that are using to be able to grow and expand our brands in the wake of the recession, but also in the dawn of the new economy and the new methodologies that are there now for reaching consumers and working in business. So we have really taken it upon our shoulders, and the people here on this call with me have all been very actively involved in ensuring that it's going to be cutting edge, there's going to be new material, and there's going to be new insights that are shared that are being used out there today.
And certainly we appreciate y'all volunteering to be part of that committee and that board, as well as being my guest on the show today. I know As Franchise Update always does at their conference, they have some great and really very interesting keynote speakers. And this year, those include Jordan Belfort, the author and Wolf of Wall Street, and the subject of the upcoming motion picture starring Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm in the process of actually finishing up on the book right now, and it really is a very intriguing story. And I really believe some of what he talks about will hit home in franchising as far as, you know, sales and marketing and what have you, certainly not to the extent of some of the consequences that he followed through on. Anyway, and then to unwind, the second keynote back from Fast Times at Ridgemont High is Judge Reinhold. As he said, he'll rev up the audience as they transport back to the 80s of headband leg warmers and Hill Street Blues. So, Shelley, going in addition to the you know, the keynote speakers, you know, going back to your first leadership and development conference. Well, first of all, you know, tell us how long that was, and what were your expectations as you attended that first conference?
Our first conference that I attended was in 2006, so we'd been franchising for about 10 months at that point. I wish I could have gotten 2005 conference so that I could have gotten some best practices before we started selling our first deals, but unfortunately I was on bed rest with my twin, so couldn't quite make that one. But in 2006, actually, you know, kind of interesting that Tom is so actively a part of this conference, as he was one of my first mentors. It was Kurt Landwehr, Brian Schnell, and Tom Wood, actually, in the first pre-day of my first franchising event ever was the Leadership and Development Conference, and those three individuals, including Tom, were teaching the pre-day, and then obviously going into the conference. I just really wanted to make sure that as a new franchisor that we did it right, that I really thought about what it was going to take in terms of generating leads, but as importantly, who were the franchisees that were going to be best for my system, because we had successful company-owned stores but didn't yet have franchise locations up and running. So I learned so much and made so many contacts. Brian Schnell wound up going on my board of advisors, and Kurt Landwehr wound up being a coaching mentor every Thursday and Saturday night following that conference, because I just wanted to continue to learn from the best of best. So best practices, lead generation, sales process, but also I just think the wealth of C-level and sales executives that are part of this conference make it so unique, and for me as a brand new franchisor at that stage in time, just invaluable, and I haven't missed a conference since.
Now that's awesome, and I still hear the enthusiasm in your voice as you talk back to those early days. Greg, how long ago did you attend your first conference, and what were your expectations as you attended that conference?
Paul, I think my first conference was 2006, and I had gone from owning my own casual dining restaurant concept and was re-entering the franchising sphere. And you know, I'd been in franchising for, you know, about a decade prior to that and with some very large companies, but quite frankly, I'd been kind of out of it, so I was kind of a little bit rusty. And I was just kind of expecting to kind of get a little bit of a tune-up when I got there. And, you know, the funny thing is that Tom Wood was probably the most impactful guy for me at that session. I went into a morning session, and Tom was running, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what I needed to do. It got me basically from zero to going 120 miles an hour in just his one session alone. And, you know, for me, it was so much more, you know, you go to conferences, and you expect them meet folks and network and, you know, see a decent speaker or two. And, you know, the big difference is the franchise update, you know, at my level, and I'm sure for Tom and Shelley, you know, for us, time is a very precious commodity. And to take 2 or 3 days out of your time, particularly the key, you know, we're on an annual calendar, right? We have a fiscal calendar that has a year end. And quite frankly, this time of the year is a really busy time for us when we're trying to meet our goals. And to take that time and put it into a conference has got to be a very important decision. So where I'm right now, I only attend two conferences a year that are conferences to learn, not selling events or things like that. And this is one of them. And this is the preeminent development conference. This is, you know, postgraduate. This is PhD development where you learn very high-level things. This isn't about, gee, return phone calls and, you know, keep good records on your candidates and, you know, what best practices are for how to run an initial phone call. This is about the correct strategy for what types of franchisees do you want to have your system grow with. What's the correct strategy for picking territorial areas, or what's the correct strategy for your franchising style? And that, for me, was the biggest. I mean, I was completely blown away. And it is purely for serious career development executives. This is not for, Steve Olson, sorry, this is not for someone who's in sales and is, you know, trying a franchising job. They just change jobs. They take a job as a franchise salesperson. This is for someone who really wants to build their career and their skill level in franchise development. It's not about selling. It's about franchise development. It's about how to develop a system with the right franchisees and do the right way to do it. And, you know, you're talking about the movie that's coming out. And it was really about the kind of the bad side of selling. You know, these guys had a great time. They did whatever it took to sell deals. And that was 30 years ago. It's much more sophisticated today. It's much more geared towards what's best for the franchisee. And sometimes what's best for the franchisee is don't be a franchisee of ours. You need to go to a different system because we're not the right fit.
Exactly. Well, Tom, you know, looking at your photo, you look like that you're not as old as everybody thinks you are because you've been around this for so long. I mean, obviously, if you were a mentor back in 2006, you had to be coming to this well ahead of it. When was your first conference?
I think that I have attended every one going back 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and like Greg, this gets put on my calendar every year from a skill development and information gathering, an in-depth opportunity to really go out and get sharp on a particular need that we all have in franchising. This is hands down the best event in this skill set area that there is.
You know, obviously we just heard Shelley talk about how important and impactful it was to her. Greg returning back into franchising the same way. How does it make you feel to hear, you know, today two prominent executives in franchising say that, and you were a big part of it, and obviously the bigger part of this is the conference itself?
Oh, well, personally, it's very flattering, and fortunately, I know these two individuals, and they share more than they get in these events, and they just haven't said that part. So they have been very complimentary, and I definitely appreciate it. Now, that being said, one thing that has been long time known by the participants in this particular event is that if you're coming there just to take other people's information and other people's secrets and other people's strategies, you're not going to be long for this event, because somebody like Shelley and somebody like Greg, or certainly myself, is not going to sit down and just give and give and give, and then when we need something back or we're seeking information or we're seeking help and somebody shuts you down on that particular venue, you know, the openness of the sharing certainly shuts down along with it. So one of the other, you know, really unique things about this event is not only the transparency that when people are sitting on the stage or they're involved in a panel, but the transparency that comes in the discussions that are outside of the particular event. So it's in the hallway, it's in the lounge, it's at the restaurant, and the people that come to this event, you know, are very, very open, and the relationships that get forged here are very strong. So Shelley certainly, you know, complimented me, and Shelley, I really appreciate that, and Greg, you as well. But they would both also share the fact that there are many, many offline conversations that go back and forth through the course of the year, not only with the three of us here on the call, but I bet you between the three of us, there's easily a circle of 150 people that openly give and openly receive.
Yeah, Paul, if I could add on to what Tom says, first off, everything I am today is because of Tom Wood. Tom Wood is my entire career. The bedrock is on Tom Wood. But in addition to that, I think the way that, like, Tom and Shelley and I, and there's a whole list of folks, and just because we're on the call, that's why we're talking about our names. But, you know, the way that we approach this show is that it's an opportunity for us to take the entire industry up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, franchising's got a long history, and not all of it is the highest integrity. But today, yeah. I think the franchise industry has been significantly and dramatically changed. And quite frankly, a lot of it goes with the IFA, but I'll put a lot of it on this one specific event. I know, you know, the Franchise Update Conference is really about the professionalism of the industry and what's best for everyone involved. Not just how do you, you know, it's not just how do you close a deal. What are strategies for closing the guy? You know, get him in the chair, get him to sign, get, you know, you'll find that a lot of, you know, for example, one of the things that I learned that we do at Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, when we have a discovery day and bring franchise candidates in, we don't, no checks, no contracts, nothing. We want to find out whether or not they're the right fit for us. They should be finding out whether we're the right fit for them. There is no momentum selling, and that's happening. It still happens, but it's happening less and less and less because the goal of everyone that's there is to take the industry up a notch and make it a better industry. And that's what you're getting. You're getting that sharing. It's a very open environment. It's a very collegial environment. That's all.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I'm always impressed by the individuals attending and continuing to participate. I mean, obviously successful in their own rights, but yet they're there year after year. And I think, as Tom said so eloquently, you know, this is about giving back and sharing with people. And I think that's real important. I know walking away from last year's conference, I was just blown away by what some of the people were sharing. And, of course, I did my best to share my experience as well. So, Shelley, bottom line is we have, you know, several hundred people that attend this event, and yet we know there are thousands of franchisors out there that, you know, the majority of them are literally missing the boat. So if you had an opportunity to talk en masse to these individuals, what would your response be to why should they attend the Leadership and Development Conference?
I think it's a really easy ROI. I think the net amount that we retain after an initial franchise fee, after support, is probably five times just on one deal of attending the conference, including hotel and airfare. And I know for me, the best practices, I still pick up, I mean, this will be my seventh conference, I still pick up at least 3 to 5, you know, good ideas that I can bring back and make actionable from the conference. And those ideas are going to get me at least probably 3 to 4 deals. And it's a no-brainer to think that I'm going to get one from what I pick up and hanging out with, you know, people like Greg and Tom and, you know, all of the veterans that have been around franchising are continuing to up their game in terms of PR and lead generation and sales process. That all you need is one incremental deal, and with all of the amazing people in that room and the openness and willingness to share, I can't believe if someone comes and listens and interacts and gives back and contributes as part of the discussion and goes back and executes on what they learn, that they're not going to get at least one incremental deal done, and that's all it takes, and you've got a very clear return on investment.
Tom. Talking about these franchisors that are not attending, and some of them, quite frankly, aren't aware. They might be just new enough into franchising and not aware. But specifically the ones that have somewhat successful organizations, feel they've been there and done that in franchising, don't need any help, why would you tell them to attend the Leadership and Development Conference?
Well, that's a great question. And I think there's a couple of different answers, at least to why people wouldn't come, and, you know, along with it, why we would encourage them to come. You know, first of all, there's still a tremendous percentage of our industry that is very, very secretive about what they're doing. And for, you know, for some avenues, it's understandable. And then in some other avenues, I would say that it's not really understandable, because these are some of the same people that will show up at other events when they're looking for something. You know, the biggest reasons that I would say to somebody that doesn't participate, that's one of these organizations that you're referring to, is the need for all of us to continue to grow together and be strong in what we do for all of the right reasons for our industry outstrips the need for ultimate secrecy, you know, and you know, hiding the things that we're doing, whether it's good or not so good. The fact of the matter is the franchising industry is far greater and has far broader reach than most consumers or most North Americans realize or understand. I mean, it's greater than 50% of every dollar that's spent in North America in some way, shape, or form touches a franchise. So the point is, we as an industry really pace together going forward or going backwards, depending on how our neighbors and how other people around us are working. Franchise development, or our methodology of expanding our brands, attracting talent, selecting the right people into our businesses, and doing it in a way that not only is economical from a dollars and cents or a profit and loss statement standpoint, but also on the ethics, the integrity, the means of selecting the right people, supporting them properly, getting them up and running, is vitally important for all of us and for our industry and for the integrity that we have. One of the facts that you shared in the very beginning is that still 70% of all business startups fail, and they fail very quickly. The numbers are better in franchising, but they still aren't at the point that I think that many of us in franchising would trumpet the successes that we have and put it out in front of the consumer and say, look at the success level. There's still a tremendous amount of failures in business in general and through franchising. It's opportunities like this for us to come together as an industry and share the better practices and also expose some of the things that are not the better practices. So at the very least, it's on everybody's conscious level. Then, of course, it's going to be up to the individual to choose whether or not they're going to do anything about it or whether or not they're going to participate.
Great answer. We're on Franchise Today. We're starting the second half of our fourth season. We have a great panel of guests today talking about the 15th Annual Franchise Leadership and Development Conference, the world's largest gathering of franchise development executives, which will be held October 9th through 11th. In Atlanta. You know, Greg, I think you put it really succinctly about, you know, this is not about, you know, franchise sales per se of actually selling. This is about franchise development, and we know that's a much broader picture. And especially I think it's important to focus on this. You know, coming out of the economic downturn that we experienced, especially, you know, 2008, 2011, a little bit into 2012, where the big complaint at everybody, a lot of franchise executives and especially franchise sales personnel indicated was, you know, leads aren't what they used to be. Leads aren't as good as they have been. They're not qualified. There's a lot of tire kickers. God, it takes me, you know, 2,000 leads to even talk to one genuine candidate. And then obviously we're talking about franchise development, which is a bigger picture than that. What do you say to the individuals that continue to focus on the quote unquote quality of the leads, and what can they take away from this conference that will kind of change their thought with respect to it hanging on the balance of whether these leads are genuine or not?
Well, Paul, what you'll see a lot of what we talk about at the conference is, if you're focusing on the leads, you're focusing on the wrong thing, because the leads are just an indicator of how your brand is doing. So what you have to focus on is the quality of your brand. And if you look at what Shelley is doing, the reason she's not worried about leads, because she's worried about qualifying which candidate she wants to do business with. And it's the same thing with Tom. You know, we're in the midst of, they call it the Great Recession, right? And I can tell you that Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, we're having record performance. This year, I think our public statements are that we'll open about 130 domestic restaurants, which would be a record for Popeyes. I think our highest number we've ever had is 96. And these are not little inline sub shops that cost you $50,000 to open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our franchisees are investing, you know, including capitalized leases or the real estate, $1.5 to $2 million. So we're talking $200 million worth of investment in a brand. And what you have to do is you have to focus on the quality of your brand. Is your brand a dynamic concept? You know, is your company dynamic? Are sales or revenues, or however you measure the success of the business, increasing? Is your guest, whoever you're serving, okay, in Shelley's case, it's folks that need health care. In Tom's case, it's folks that look for floors. You know, I mean, who are your customers? In our case, it's people that eat fried chicken. Are your customers being more and more satisfied? But also, and the thing that we focus on, which is a little bit unique in our industry, is we focus on our franchisees' profitability. Because it's not just about the sales piece, it's about how much actual money they're making. And if you're working on those things, if you have those three, we call them pillars, if those three pillars are working well, the fourth pillar, which is growth, that will work well. Now, if those three pillars are working well and you're growing, you don't have to worry about leads, because folks will be coming to you. If you look at strong, successful brands, they're not worried about the number of leads they're getting, because the brands are successful and people are coming to them. It's not about how well you market yourself. It's about how strong your brand is. And that's what we talk about quite a bit, is not the tactics, you know, to get more leads coming into your, into your whatever software system you have that's taking them in. It's how do you improve your brand to be more appealing to folks that want to build. So the last thing I'll say, Paul, is that the key isn't how many leads you're getting. The key is there's a group of candidates out there for whatever they are, whatever industry they're looking at, that are the best ones. And you want to make sure you get them all and that your competitors don't. And that's what it comes down to.
You know, what I hear in all of this, and I say this that a lot, that the difference between being proactive and reactive is, you know, reactive obviously is dealing with the leads coming in. Proactive is building a system with the focus on the three pillars that you mentioned and about the quality of your brand. And I think that's obviously spot on. Shelley, what would be the key takeaways for this year's conference attendees?
Well, I mean, I think it depends what everyone is looking for. But I think in this, you know, economy, it's about getting higher qualified candidates. It's about accessing financing for those candidates, and it's about becoming real clear on who your best candidate can be and how to optimize the processes for a consistent experience is what, you know, I'm always focused on, and I always wind up taking away from these conferences. I mean, everyone said it, but it's less about, you know, what portals or what brokers and generating leads, but how do I use PR to get the brand out there? What are strategies to make sure the brand is visible? And then what is the sales team doing in terms of making sure that we're bringing in the right people so that we're ramping up time to break even faster, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy of bringing in more qualified candidates. So I find that I'm able to take a couple of operational best practices away with the kind of the emphasis on improved validation, improved pipeline results. And so kind of what are those quick hits that impact time to break even and reducing the investment range, helping with financing, that are a little bit more operational in nature, but are also helping to make sure that the deal flow that we need to have happen to improve our brand growth and our location penetration is occurring. And I always am coming away with those best practices year after year.
It sounds like a lot of planning has been done by the three of you year in and year out with respect to franchise development. And as we know all too well, there's a lot of franchise leaders out there that don't spend as much time, again, being proactive and doing the necessary strategic planning for their franchise development efforts. And I believe those are the ones that probably fall short. And I know when he gets up on the stage and he starts talking about the various reports and the various shoppings on the phone, I always cringe when I hear about, you know, phone calls going unattended to and going to a voicemail and never being responded to and what have you. And I really think Nancy Friedman in a few weeks is going to talk about some of that from the telephone doctor. But it's really interesting. So year in and year out, we have this conference. The three of you have been very successful, and obviously it's been driven by franchise development. What has changed over the years in franchise development, in your opinion, today from where it was, let's say, 10 years ago, and how does this conference really help someone to realize those changes and those challenges and how to address them? And I'll open that up for you, Tom.
Well, I would say when I look back 10 years ago, and I know that Shelley actually wasn't in franchising, so she's not going to be able to answer that question, I think.
It's hard to believe that 10 years ago she wasn't in franchising as successful as they are today. So anyway,
exactly. It's actually a little bit annoying. It's a little bit annoying, Shelley. But not that I'm competitive or anything. But there's really two big differences that are the overwhelming elephants in the room when I look back to 10 years ago. So the first one is the very obvious one, which is 10 years ago was really just the emergence of the web and how the web was going to be used and then the impact that it has on franchise development. And specifically what I'm referring to is still 10 years ago, the best leads or the best candidates or the best prospects, whatever word you choose to use to term them, came over the telephone. You know, people were going onto the web and reading your online brochure and stuff, but then if they came in over the telephone, there was an easy way to identify, okay, this person is has a bona fide interest in the business. Didn't tell you if he was qualified or anything, but at least it told you this is somebody that is actively participating in the event of finding a business. Well, certainly now 10 years later, when we are in the middle of 2013, I got to tell you, at least in my business and the businesses that I'm intimately involved in, the phone doesn't really ever ring from a candidate that is interested in learning from your business. So what this has really done is it has complicated and it has changed the dynamic of how we as franchisors engage with candidates and engage with prospects and how we learn about them. And that has really changed our business. And I would say that there are very few people that I know of that have truly learned how to embrace this change and to work with it. The second one, which I believe in my world is related to the first change, is the full-on on the emergence and maturation of the consultant or broker networks that are out there that assist franchisors in growing. And I believe that in large part due to the onset of the Internet and Internet being the methodology for a candidate to identify themselves, the brokers and consultants have really emerged as the ones that have, for lack of a better way to put it, figured out how to work with these candidates and then narrow it down to who is a bona fide prospect for franchisors. So what we have and what we see in the franchising world today is 10 years ago, there was a few people working with brokers and consultants, and many people were doing well with their own development efforts. To now, 10 years later, the brokers and the consultants have really become a mainstay in the business, and many franchisors are utilizing them to a large extent. And we haven't really fully figured out and learned how are we going to use this thing called the Internet when it comes to franchise development. And those are the two primary mm-hmm. differences I see from 10 years ago.
Yeah, Paul, the other difference I would see is the significantly increased transparency. In other words, everything you do, someone can find out. You everything you do is out there, and everything you say and everything you believe in, your candidates are going to know about it, and that just makes it a much cleaner. If you're a high integrity brand, it's wonderful. It's an awesome environment. If you're a little bit sketchy and your CEO is only concerned about, reducing costs because he's trying to make money so they can blow out the company and have a liquidity event in a couple of years, it becomes very apparent. And
sure.
It causes you to have to be much better at what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the thing is here, Tom, you're right. As far as, there's maybe now no leads coming in on the phone anymore, where we know that's the way the process was. And I think better defined or differently defined is, the process used to be an A to Z process. Like you said, maybe they read something, the Franchise 500 and put on magazine, they pick up the phone, maybe they saw something in the Franchise Handbook. And the process was this A to Z process. We got them on the phone, we sent them out an expensive full-color brochure, we kind of thumbed our fingers on the desk, back and forth, waited, 4 or 5 days for it to get there, follow up with a phone call, la-di-da-di-da. And today, and Greg, to your point, to the transparency, there's so much information out there that candidates are actually maybe involved, maybe to the point of being an M in the A to Z process before they actually contact you for information. So we really have to stay up on our toes, but again, the brand, the quality of the brand with full transparency, I think is absolute paramount and key to successful franchise development moving forward. Shelley, in an industry such as in-home healthcare, where you have, obviously the consumer that has specific needs and franchise candidates that might be on the total end of this, the opposite end of the spectrum, because they may not have even had an experience with a family member in home health care. Whereas other brands, walk in the door, they like what they see, and they say, let me see if this is an opportunity I'd be interested in. And I think this is kind of changing as new industry segments, such as what Brightstar is in. So what do you say to franchisors that are coming into newer industries, how should they adapt to franchise sales and development, and how could they take away something from this conference that might help them moving forward as they help you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I haven't been in 10 years, so I'll kind of merge the last question and this one. But, in going to the conference, 7 years, I think that while the industry has changed a lot, and certainly, Internet has changed a lot of the sales process, and brokers have as well, I think one of the things that's changed in that period of time so much is my own ability to know how to ask the right questions and network with the right people, and that kind of gets to this question that you just asked. I mean, when I first went to my first conference, I would just go up and like a little puppy dog, go around to all of the Tom Woods and Kurt Landwehrs and everyone that just knew everything, Rob Goggins, all of these amazing individuals that had such success, and would equate each answer as something that would be appropriate for me. And I think what I have come to learn and what I mentor a lot of new franchisors on is that I now understand the difference in who I'm looking for as someone who has to be an owner-operator versus like Rob Goggins with Great Clips, who's looking for someone who's going to be an investor. And those are two completely different models. And so what might work for him is going to be different for me. And investment ranges are drastically different. You know, $1 million to put up, you know, a few Popeyes, you know, would be, and I love that chicken, by the way. Great. So I've been here for years.
Keep loving it, Shelley.
Gotta watch my waistline, but I love it when investment range will be different for services industries. And, you know, we're on the higher end of the investment range in the home care space because we require a full-time director of nursing because our franchisees don't come
sure.
from a healthcare background. And so knowing that someone that has a $25,000 or $50,000 investment range and I have $100,000 to $200,000, drastically different in who we're looking for. And so I think that's, I don't know if the content has evolved as much from my perspective. I think technology's changed things, and that's certainly true in every aspect of our business. But I think what has become more relevant for me is I think I'm better in the questions and who I'm talking to of being able to apply a filter as to owner, operator, or investor model is a completely different distinction in buyer, and what the investment range is going to likely very much dictate who's a right buyer for me versus another concept. And, you know, we look at, you know, in-home care, you know, who we're caring for, 65, 75% of our consumers are seniors, and that my franchisees are, you know, 30 to 50 years of age on average. What's been interesting is about 85% of our franchisees have had a prior in-home experience with home care, and we actually see that as an important determinant to being able to relate to the services they're going to sell. To be our best performers have come from understanding the consumer experience. And so, you know, I think franchising is best done by having your own company-owned location first so you understand who your consumer is, you know, really well and how you find them and who you're looking for to be a great franchisee can be either the, in our case, the founders or those branch managers that we're going to find to run additional locations. And so I think that needs to be kind of in the forethought of those that are kind of attending is thinking about what investment range they are, so asking the right questions and right mentors to filter that information and make it their own. And if it's a brand new concept, how are they connecting with vendors that are at the conference like a Fran Data to see what might be the closest franchisee profile and investment range, even if there's not a one-to-one correlation if you're entering territory like we did back in 2002.
Excellent. You know, Tom, I was driving back from Memphis a couple of weeks ago listening to XM radio in the middle of nowhere. Just couldn't get regular radio. And right in the middle of some of the programming, it was really, I found, a little bit comical. And there's a pun intended there because I was listening to one of the comedy stations. And at a commercial comes a franchise sales marketing piece, an ad from one of the big educational franchises. And I thought, wow, what a weird place to place that ad. But obviously, or maybe not obviously, they checked out the demographics and figured out that's where they wanted to be. But I immediately put down or lowered the sound on the radio and called them. And it was, you know, thank you for calling, blah, blah, blah. I won't mention the name. Thank you for calling. And it was an individual, and I said, yeah, I'm driving down the road, and I heard this ad about a franchise opportunity, and I'm interested in learning more. And what I was immediately told is, oh, great, you should go to our website at www.block, you know, take a look at it, and if you're interested, give me a call back. And I said, okay, that's it, hang up. And I think to the point, you know, because I know Steve will be up there with his performance report, and we see that all too often these marketing dollars are just wasted by poor sales practices. And I know to Greg's point, this is not specifically about the sales aspect of it, but still, those sales best practices are an integral component of a successful franchise development program, because if you don't sell it, it's not going to work. So what can some of the franchise organizations take away from this conference with respect to best practices in sales?
Well, let me ask you a clarifying question. Is the question really what can they take away, or is the question what will they take away?
That's a good question coming back. So why don't we answer that in a two-part? Tell me what they can take away and tell me what they will take away.
Well, what they can take away is very clearly those better practices will be exposed, they'll be discussed, and there will be very practical and easy to implement solutions that many people in this particular room, you know, are already doing. Now, my cynical side, though, has long since come to the conclusion that some of those things that you just described, Paul, are not going to change in our industry overall and going forward. I have not seen the results from the call surveys yet coming in that Steve will share. I think we're going to review them in 2 weeks as we get prepared. But I fully anticipate that the percentage of phone calls like yours that come in that don't get returned or leads that come in over the Internet that don't get a call back is probably not going to change percentage-wise at all or very, very minimally. Those numbers are the same as they were 10 years ago. And I know that, again, Shelley, when she mentioned she got into the franchising world in the mid-2000s and Greg got into this aspect of franchising just somewhere around the same time frame, I took my first franchise sales leadership class back in 1994, for crying out loud. And no, I'm not really that old, by the way, before you even say it. I was a young man. And the gentleman that I was working for at the time said, look, we're starting this franchise brand. You know, you're one of the key executives. None of us know how to sell franchises. You got to go to one of these IFA things. And I went and I sat through the class. And I got to tell you, 3 or 4 hours in, I was like, really? This is how we're supposed to sell? Because these things that I'm learning and these better practices that I'm hearing and that I've got all these beautiful handouts, like, it has nothing to do with actually calling a customer back, working or a client or a lead, working with them in an intuitive fashion that is both give and take, and understanding that even though we have to select the right people, we have to also entice the right people to be interested in us in the early stages. And I very quickly came to a conclusion and then geared a lot of the sales practices that I've used over the last 20 years. And then, Shelley, when you sat through the class, and Kurt certainly has done the same thing, meaning when he helps lead these, we have realized that the franchise development industry has probably, by my estimation, some of the worst sales practices and skills of any industry that I know. And I will tell you, where I learned to sell franchises was going and following around copy salespeople from Hewlett-Packard, I think, in 1994, and watching some of their salespeople go through sales training. And then just because I ascertained that at the time where I was, this was one of the better groups that knew how to just sell in general. And I wanted to learn how they sold, and then I wanted to bring it back into the franchising industry. And I have to say, those practices and skills as fundamental platforms, are directly applicable and they work. But our industry is still wrought with pick up the telephone or send something electronically and it just goes into cricket land, meaning you're not going to hear anything but crickets. You still have to pursue the franchisor to get the opportunity to actually learn about their business. And I still don't see that going away because some of those better practices hasn't changed. Now, in conclusion here of what I'm trying to communicate is at this event in particular, I feel there's roughly 70% of the room that actively works on these things, actively tries to improve, has good practices. And there's roughly 30% of the room that just doesn't get it yet, but they're open-minded. But then outside of this, in the roughly 4,000 franchise businesses that there is across the United States, it's still pretty brutal. It's still hard.
And the
thing too, Paul, is a lot of folks don't even realize it. They have no idea, no concept of what they're not doing. They're just completely unaware. And there's not very many real large organizations that attend this. It seems like, you know, Popeyes, we're $2.25 billion in system sales, right? And, you know, we have over 2,100 restaurants. And there's not a lot of large firms there because when you're a big company, you have a tendency to kind of look inwards because you've got so much going on with your own company that you focus on what you're doing. And, you know, what you all were talking about is the best practices piece is really one of the best goals. You know, when I say that the sales and the leads is not really the main focus, it isn't, but it's the foundation. If you don't have the best practices and you aren't doing the basic
right.
fundamentals to be effective on that, then you're missing a huge opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. So we've got about 5 minutes left. So I'd like to ask each of you, and Tom, we'll start with you on this. In your opinion, and this is your elevator pitch for the leadership and development conference, you know, how is this conference different than the many other franchise conferences throughout the year? And we know there are many.
Yep. I think it's in two particular places, and these are intentional. The focused programming on specific areas of skill sets in the franchise development world, where it is programming that is not intended to be vague or broad, but is intended to be pointed and specific. So therefore, you can look at particular rooms, you can look at particular sessions, and they are going to be very drilled down with respect to the content that's going to be discussed and the information that's going to be shared. The second particular piece, and we spoke about this briefly earlier, is that the people that participate in this event, and certainly the peers that I know that will be there, they expect and intend to give, if they have information to give and to share, just as much as they expect to receive. So therefore, going to this particular event, I find very few people are shielded, guarded, and protective of what their organizations are doing, outside of proprietary things, of course. And you can expect that if you go there with a willingness to share and talk about what you and your organization is doing, you will find that the person that you are sitting across the table with will do the absolute same. This is a collaborative effort, a collaborative event, and it's meant for people to be able to share their better practices. So giving and receiving.
Excellent. Greg, what's your opinion?
I second what Tom says, because it's really, I mean, the way I've approached it is I've gotten so much out of it that I try to share everything that I can to help other folks as they get started. And it's been very valuable to me, and so I'm kind of at the stage now where it's give back.
And Shelley, in your opinion, how is the Leadership and Development Conference different than the many other franchise conferences throughout the year? And I know you attend a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the men summed it up really well, so to, you know, not be redundant. I think it, for me, it is still a place that I learn. So I go to give back, but I also still learn. I go in with a very targeted approach, which is why I think I get so much out of it every single year, is, you know, I think it's a place where it's really the only conference of the year that's just focused on growing your system, both through marketing and through sales on the franchise development side. But I think you get out of it what you put in, and that's not only giving back, but it's also having a specific agenda of what you want to get out of it. So I always go in, and I'm looking for four kind of key things. One is, what are the technologies that are being used, and are any that are available superior to what I'm using? What are people doing on sales compensation, and is there any adjustment that we should be looking at to our sales comp plan? That was one of my big takeaways last year, is a change aligning to the results of where our franchisees' performance
mm-hmm.
open, not just selling them on getting the deal done. So we really align with selecting, not selling, and that was a really key change. And then the third or what process changes we could fine-tune and improve to overall streamline our sales process. So those are three things I look for. And then my fourth is looking for three new contacts of people that impress me, either that can learn from me or I can learn from them, and usually a combination thereof. But there is a passion and a willingness to share, and three new people that I'm going to stay in touch with. So those are kind of the four goals I set for myself going into each conference. And I'm just looking for those three nuggets and those three new contacts. And for me, that means the conference is a huge return on the investment of my time.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're running out of time, and I'd like to thank each of you for sharing your experience and perspective on the conference. I look forward to seeing each of you at the conference. And remember, the conference is in Atlanta, October 9th through 11th. We'll be broadcasting live from the event on the 10th. Next week, we'll be discussing public affairs with the ISA, so be here. So until then, I'm Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best, in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.